me up some.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant. I study millionaires cause I was born a visionary. You still believe in limitations, why you acting scary? You can't distract me from the paper, I've been chasing greatness. I'm stacking now and balling later, in the conversation. We strategizing, monetizing, piling up investments. And sacrificing temporary shit for bigger blessings. Yeah, a tapped in boss mind state. I multiply my grind rate and I match the way I vibrate. Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your host, Xavier, and Deanna, she won't be in on today's episode, but we still gonna, make it crack, and it's gonna be a great one. And before we start the show, I just would greatly appreciate it if all you guys could subscribe, rate, and leave a review for our channel. Like everybody that's listening, if y'all could do that, we really, really appreciate it. And getting right into it, so on this episode, I got my guy, a fellow Chicagoan. I was just bigging him up. I said, you a legend at what you do, man, already, even at your young age. And he's in the mobile home industry killing. I'm pretty sure y'all already know who I'm talking about. If y'all don't, y'all need to get from under a rock. Him and his wife, they've been going crazy, man. But I'm talking about my guy, Byron Sellers. He's an investor, the co-founder of Mobile Home Elite, and he's the host of Real Shit Real Estate Podcast. Welcome to the show, bro. You know how excited I am to have you here.
Man, thank you, bro. Man, definitely appreciate you. It's dope to be back on this boy, man. Yeah. You know, to even share from where we even came from. So,
bro, hey, so much has changed, man. Like I was looking back at it because y'all was on in 2019. Now I remember, like I was talking about mobile homes, giving all the game, all the experience y'all did, and y'all was talking about how I went about a park. And y'all have got it, man. For the people, y'all got the park, man. So first, I want to say salute to that because that's amazing, man. Owning a mobile home park, that's the play right there. So, just getting straight into that, man. Like how that even happen?
Yeah, man. So, you know, that was when we really sparked our interest in getting a mobile home park was when we first started. We found out that the park charges lot rent, right? Just like HOA fees per home. Every month they make a payment to be on the land. Like for most people who don't know, a mobile home park is pretty much like a big parking lot, right? Your homes get to stay on there and you pay monthly for the amenities. So that's our first park that we ever did, the lot rent, which was $575. And that park, and we asked the park manager, we like, yo, how many homes y'all got? He said 615. So we like, yo, hold on. Y'all getting $575 per unit, and y'all, and we did a month. So we just like, yo, okay, I like what we doing, but this is the goal. Because if they getting this type of money, then imagine what we can do. So that was the goal since we started, right? Before our first deal. So to really fast forward, so you talk about the pandemic happened 2020, right? My goal sheet, I actually still got my goal sheet, 2020 goals right up in here. And my number one goal was to purchase a mobile home park community. And man, you know, the beautiful thing about educating people on, you know, mobile home invest, they open up so many doors. And so my partner, man, he reached out to me, he reached out, he had a park in Indiana and we was going to do some business inside of his mobile home park in Indiana. And I didn't really have the manpower to renovate in the time frame that he needed. So I'm like, yo, listen, man, that's cool. We'll pass on this one, but let me know if you got a mobile home park deal, because I love to put, you know, go ahead and be an investor as, you know, we continue to look. So as we was doing our due diligence and things, man, he came across a park deal. And just, you know, as far as a partnership, this park was a 52 unit park in Pennsylvania, right outside of Pittsburgh. They were asking, he ended up getting it down. He was asking originally for 1.4. He ended up closing it at 1.1. And so he told us, like, yo, listen, you know, like, man, I'll quarterback the deal. Y'all can come in as investors. And we like, say less.
Say less.
So, man, you know, I got a chance to kind of watch him quarterback that deal. You know what I'm saying? Definitely wire our money over. And, man, before you know it, you know what I'm saying? Paperwork signed, operating agreements. You know, our investment company, Trevay Scott, you know, 17% owners, which I tell people, man, it's not about owning the entire thing. I'm all about percentages, right?
Yep.
So, boom, we got that one. Now, you know, we definitely celebrated that. 2 months later, he like, yo, I got another 3-park deal. So you want to add to the portfolio, I can go ahead and add cars some more room out. So now you talk about 13% owners. So we like, say less. So now we got a total of 272 units, right? All in all, that's 4 mm-hmm. communities, all within the Pittsburgh city limits. And bro, it's been life changing. You know what I'm saying? To even have that. And so now we're really aggressive. This year, the goal is 10 parks. So now we're really aggressive and going. And I'm working on one right now in Athens, Georgia, another 3-park deal. And that's my thing. The way I get my 10 parks, I need a minimum of 2 to 3 parks per deal.
See, man, I think this is such an important conversation because you just touched on some topics that I've been kind of talking about heavily recently. So I didn't even expect you to bring it up, but I'm glad you did. So, like I've been seeing a lot of people like online talking about, like, let's say somebody from the music industry, entertainment industry, like they might own 10% of a company, but they might have like $500 million network. And I'll see people dogging like, but he don't own it though. He only owns 10%. And I'm like, bro, what are y'all talking about, bro? I'm like, the fact he, first of all, he got bread and he got ownership. Whether you got 10, 20, 30, like, I think people be so caught up into this 100% of nothing mentality or majority ownership of nothing mentality, where it's like, bro, I would take 5-10% of some of a conglomerate opposed to owning majority of nothing. Like, what is like? So I don't know where people got this mentality from. So when you just brought that up, I'm like, I love that, bro. Like, cause I don't like when people say that. Like if you ain't got majority ownership, it's a waste of time or whatever. I'm like, man, y'all crazy.
Man, you know what? And a lot of that kind of stem, you know, I think, especially from the hip hop community, you know, it kind of go to like a poor mindset at times, right? Because that's our rappers was telling us, you know, I went and bought that car. I didn't lease it. You know, man, I need 100%. I need 100%. And we don't even realize that they signed to somebody that signed to another co-label that signed to this label. And really what shifted my mind on that, because I ain't gonna lie, I thought the same thing, right? I thought like, man, I need a whole pot. But I remember my buddy telling me, he was like, listen, Jeff Bezos only owns 17% of Amazon, but he's the richest man in the world. So what does that tell you? And he was like, that's the problem a lot of times with our people. We think that we got to own this whole entire thing. He's like, you can go get 100% way easier than trying to go get 100% by yourself.
Exactly.
And when he said that, I'm like, yo, that's the move. And it's group economics. We all win. It's less people. Like, if I go get something 100% of mine, if I fail, that's all on me.
That's all on you. And all the work on you.
And all the work. But if I go invest in this, partner on this, now we can strategize and come up with solutions together to really minimize the risk. So,
exactly.
I mean, anybody listening, man, you know, collaboration over, you know, over competition.
Hell yeah. And it's not like that's the end all be all. Like, who knows what you're going to do next?
Facts.
You can take it and do something else. So it's like, why not get a piece of this too? You get pieces of a bunch of stuff. So that's super dope to me, man. And that's like, so yeah, y'all closed on the park in 2020, right?
All of them in 2020.
Oh, damn, man. That's so, because yeah, I remember when we went out to eat, you told me like, man, we trying to get a park. And y'all really did it. Like that's so, because I talk to a lot of people that's in mobile homes. And they go and they talk about how they buying the homes, or they might want to buy a park, or they're dealing with different kind of owners and stuff like that. So like, as a, not that you're on the other side of it, as an owner, like, do you have a different viewpoint of the game as opposed to from the other side?
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, one thing as an owner now, I see the value of investors. See, a lot of parks, it comes back to that, I want to keep everything within. A lot of park owners struggle. So they would rather have empty lots, empty homes, abandoned homes, and try to do it themselves than allow someone to come in there, invest in it, and bring value. So for us, it's like, yo, it's a no-brainer. You know what I'm saying? Because like, if we, we as owners, we allow the people to come in. Not only we provide opportunity for an investor, we provide opportunity for a new homeowner. You know, the park is that value is being, so every piece is different value. And then one thing I see too is just as an owner, it hurts. Like if you come into a mobile home community and you're trying to move homes out of their community, you hurt the owner. That's not a really a relationship that we can build on, right? I can't really do nothing from you if you're taking money out of my pocket, trying to take that home and then make somebody else richer by putting it in their community, right? Unless you put it on your own land. So, you know, definitely from that space. But I think anybody, you know, that's out there mobile home investing, the end goal, everybody I see, they normally say, yo, I want to get my own park.
Yep.
Or they want to definitely put mobile homes on their own land. And I think that's the dope thing about it, you know, just kind of, you know, being a leader in this space mm-hmm. and continuing to lead by example. And so, you know, it's the game, you know, being a game changer, man, I can't wait to see you talk about 2022, 2023, and I see way more, you know, minority mobile home park owners, way more people got, you know, mobile homes on land. And, you know, we really, really helping this affordable housing crisis, but making an impact for ourselves too, and our people, giving them a safe haven to live. For example, if other ethnic groups are like, yo, shutting them out, raising the price, gentrification, like, cool. Now we got a backup plan to be like, yo, look, we got this affordable housing. We got these, you know, manufactured homes. Here you go. Something that's very affordable.
That's cool. So which one do you think is better? You think it's buying a park that's already established, or buying a piece of land and just setting up your own park? Which one you think is better?
So it's all about location. I think that, you know, a move, buying a park already it's better because you're buying a business, right? Mm. You're buying an operating business already. So for example, if you got 50 units and it comes with a park manager, it comes with, you know, a maintenance man, you know, you buying a system. So right. you're now in an acquisition business. And before that, I had wanted to get in the acquisition business. I wanted to buy pre-existing software companies. But my buddy had to tell me, like, yo, my buddy Ron, shout out my buddy Ron. He says, man, listen, bro, you already in that business. That's what a park is. You're in the acquisition business. You're buying a business. And that really sparked it for me. Like, yo, damn, okay. And then I look at it like this. You know, putting mobile homes on land in your own land, that's like a startup.
Yeah.
Right. So now you're building and you're thinking you're bringing community, right? So the thing is, if you're in the middle of nowhere, you may have a little bit harder time trying to get people, you know what I'm saying, to move in the middle of nowhere, unless it's already, you know, valued people. But the closer you are to, you know, cities, I'll give everybody a hack on here. If you buy a mobile home on land, or if you buy a mobile home park, you want to buy somewhere where the population is at least 75,000 people. Right. 75,000 people. That's always amazing because you know that that's stability there. But when you buy in towns, there's only 3,000. And that really, you know, you go to bestplaces.net online and you can put in your city seat. And then if you type in the metro, they'll allow you to see. So, for example, if I buy something and there's only 10,000 people and I buy a 70 unit mobile home park, I kind of got slim pickings, especially if the median house, let's say the median house is $80,000. I'm competing with a house. Why would they go get a $30,000, $40,000 mobile home when they don't get an $80,000 house?
Right.
On that, you know what I'm saying, within the neighborhood. So, you know, that's just really, you know, my best analogy, though. But I would say, you know, again, to answer that question, a mobile home park is definitely amazing because you're buying that business.
You just gave us some gems, bro, for real. So I'm pretty sure people are going to take some value from that. As far as, like, dealing with the actual tenants within the park, like, is it like similar to actual rules? Let's say if you want to evict somebody, since it's y'all that own the park, is it much easier to get them out compared to actual real estate?
Yeah, you know, most state laws with mobile homes inside a community being personal property, you know, most laws are a little bit strenuous. A lot of states, like those very tenant friendly states, you know, New York. You know, those states, they have a little bit more stricter, you know, when it comes to putting people out. But, you know, states like Louisiana, you're talking about less than 10 days to send an eviction notice. Like it's crazy. But, you know, during a pandemic and things, you know, a lot, we definitely kind of had a few people that weren't paying and things. And now, you know, that period has started. So we got a few vacancies now. But it has, you know, the laws are, well, should I say the policies now have kind of loosened that up. So, but you have your park manager. That's your park manager's job, you know, to be able to do that, deliver those notices on time. And again, it's not a fun job, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we just want to make sure the biggest thing I tell people is it's not about putting people out. You just want to make sure people are responsible. And that lesson they're going to learn later on in life, they can build up all this. Like, well, I got kicked out for not paying my rent. Yeah, that was a life lesson they can look back on and understand them not being responsible. That's what it caused.
Yes, that's major too, man. Because that's like how you just talked about park managers. Like we talked about real estate, like we always tell them property managers is for most investors, especially if you're not trying to be the property manager yourself, it's going to make or break your experience. Like if you got a shitty property manager, you're going to be one of those people that's like, man, F real estate. Real estate ain't for me. I'm cool. But you know what I'm saying? Right. When you got a good property manager, you be like, man, this cake. Like, so I can imagine it's probably the same thing with parks, with a good park manager. But they managing so much more that if you got 50 units, 200 units, they managing a whole lot. So do you get like multiple park managers or just like one?
Yeah, so our first one we have one, and she lives on the park. Our other ones. That's always a plus too. If you can get somebody to live on a park, because now you can either, you know, take their lot rent away, and then that, you know, their salary, you know, you got different negotiation tactics on there when it comes to compensation. But yeah, man, I mean, the cool thing about that, you know, they do have a lot on their plate. And some of the larger the parks, you know, when you have started getting like, you know, 150 plus units, normally they have, you know, multiple park managers. But you know, again, that's the biggest part of them is just you're making sure community is tight, right? Right. The funny thing in parks, man, the park manager is almost like the big mama. Right? Coming and telling like, yo, I try to tell them, you know, they got their garbage out. Can you tell them they do it? And it's a park manager know everything that's going on in that community. So it's definitely good to have them because you kind of have that authority, to, you know, that authoritative figure that people kind of know, you know, like, oh, the park manager coming, let me not do this. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely good.
Mm. So I want to talk about this for a second, because I know I even seen you share this on Instagram. And I know we talked about it privately before, how like you talked about, like, I think you said like 5 years ago, you was in a completely different position when it comes to lifestyle, right? So I think this is important to have a conversation, because I think a lot of people, when they hear us talk about like people in this lane, when we're talking about money, building wealth, I think they be thinking that we always been here in this position. Mentally, we always been like working and grinding and putting ourselves in this position. But I think your story is so dope because you know what I'm saying? What was it, like five, six years ago?
Right, exactly.
So like, and look, your life completely like 180 changed all the way. So like, I just want you to talk about like, how that even happened, bro? Like, cause for a lot of people, they wouldn't even be able to fathom that story. If you're like, man, 5 years you was here, now you here. Like, how that happen,
bruh? You know, 5 years ago, 5 years ago, I was living. I had roommates at the time. I had a job. I was in the transportation industry. I was a driver manager. I think I was making. That's most money I would make. I was making like $57,000, right? With bonuses, like $60K. And man, I just really, you know, what my routine was, I go to work, come home, get high, smoke some weed, playing 2K with my guys, right? And that was the most money I would make, right? Gambling 2K, $20 games. And bro, you know, it was kind of like, I remember just, you know, seeing people taking trips, you know, on the ground, they taking trips, you know, I'm like, I can't even take no trip, you know, everybody getting the new Jordans, this, you know, I'm just seeing people live, and I'm just like, yo, bro, like, I may only have like $250 every 2 weeks to my name, bro, credit cards max, but at the same time, you know, I was trying to get a multifamily property, right, so I'm kind of looking into real estate and things, and I really had to, it took some deep searching. I got to that point, I'm saying like, rock bottom, like, yo, like, this ain't life, bro, like, this ain't it right here, man. So I started diving in personal development books. My first book I read was called Six Months to Six Figures with a cat named Peter Vogt. And that kind of sparked me. Then I, you know, I start, my dad had gave me some Napoleon, is it Napoleon Hill?
Napoleon Hill.
He sent me some, like some DVDs he had. So I started looking at that. I started really tapping in, and I read Tim Ferriss. The book that really sparked me was, 4-hour work week. And I'm like, yo, people doing this 4 hours? Yo, this crazy. And so I really started tapping in. I ended up moving to my other buddy's house. It was a better space because my roommates, I love them, but it was like one of my roommates was a cute dog. So they had like parties upstairs. I done came home to stripper parties to I mean, crazy, bro. Like damn near 100 people in the crib. And I moved. It was a better pace. And I just really became engulfed, bro. I knew I had to get my mind. So we're talking about E.T., Les Brown. I'm listening to Tony Robbins. You know what I'm saying? I discovered Gary Vee, mm-hmm. Ty Lopez, mm-hmm. all these people. And I'm just like, and I became engulfed in that, bro. I sold my PlayStation 4. I did not watch no TV, bro. I maybe had watched just the Super Bowl and the NBA Finals. That was it. And I just became so engulfed. And, you know, people were like, man, be you changing. But I knew that was good because like, everybody successful would say, people say you would change. And, man, fast forward, I got fired March 3rd, 2017. I had to start doing Lyft. That year, I went to a life coaching program, maxed out my credit cards. I spent $12,000 on a life coaching program. I spent another $3,000 into another personal development program. Mm. Man, I started driving Lyft. I had to make money. But I tried so much stuff, bro. Within 2017, I tried MLMs. I had tried my first marketing business. I tried, I was doing some life coaching. Like I tried so much stuff, bro. And I remember again, one podcast I was driving people was like mobile home investing. And my passengers didn't want to hear it. I sent it to Sharnice. And Sharnice, when I came home, she was like super excited. And that's what was just like, well, I knew when she was on, I'm like, yo, all right. She like, baby, we doing this. I said, okay, cool. This is what we doing. Bro, we did not turn back, bro. Mm. Like when I tell you that sparked us to just go 100%. And I'm gonna tell you right before that, my car had got repo. Sharnice had gave me the money to get it out. My credit was bogus. I had a 520. Like I was broke, bro. Like my parents giving me grocery money. My parents having interventions with me. Like, yo, you like, why are you struggling like this? You got a degree. Like, come on now. Like you don't need to do this. And I'm like, yo, it ain't about that. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to create the life that I design. And man, again, you talking about within a 3-year span from here, my life has made a complete 360. In 2019, when we did a podcast with you, bro, we were still living in the hood. People mm-hmm. don't know Washington Park, 57th and Indiana. You know what I'm saying? Like, which mm-hmm. it go down.
It's real. It's real. Over there.
That's what we was living at. You know what I'm saying? And then now I'm blessed to say I'm living in Old Town in Chicago, one of the most luxurious neighborhoods in the city, in a 4-story crib. You know what I'm saying? So I knew man, this was going to come. Shit, man. You know what I'm saying? I knew this was going to come. I just knew I had to build the momentum. And one thing I learned was, once I started the activity, I became active and I didn't choose to slow down. Everything that I asked for, God ended up hearing me and he saw that I was a faithful servant. I surrendered and things happened. And he gave me an even larger vision than I even expected, bro.
Damn, man. you just touched on a whole lot that I want to piggyback on, man. But that's like I said, I love to hear stories like that, man, because that's really some movie shit, man. Like that don't happen to like a lot of people. When they hear stuff like that, they be like, man. Because like I said, most of the time they see us, they see the position we in, and they think we always been here mentally, not knowing just like years ago we was a completely different person. So it was like, you know what I'm saying, pockets messed up, all that. So it's like, so you know what I'm saying. So it's like that's why I like when people break it down like that, so people can know like, you can do this shit too, man. Like you just gotta choose it every single day. You just gotta actively choose it. But I want to ask you this. Like, first, I want to say shout out to Sharnice, man. That's real right there. Like, mm-hmm. I want to shout out to her because I talk to a lot of people that's like out here and they looking for like relationship partners, whatever. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of people that's winning, is making good money, and they be like, man. They be like, man, you look like, hey, like, man, you good, bro, because you found your girl, and you was at the bottom, man. So yeah, you already know she just don't want nothing out of you. Don't say you can trust her. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. They be like, I can't. They be like, I'm winning now. I don't know if mm-hmm. she like, be rocking with me for me mm-hmm. or she. So so your situation similar, like, bro. Y'all was with each other from the bottom, bro. So mm-hmm. it's like, it's a different. I can't even really explain it to people. Like, it's a different kind of love and respect when you have someone and y'all both came from. You knew what it was, and y'all ain't had much money, man, and stuff like that.
Bruh, it's totally different, you know. And to watch her growth, this wasn't the life that she chose either, you know. And to see how, you know, she was willing to learn, and I think even as I'm gonna say this for my brothers out there, you got to be patient. right? Because, yeah, I ain't gonna lie. At first, I wanted her to be this superstar, mm-hmm. right? That, but I wasn't even a superstar yet in myself. I was developing. I may have knew a little bit more, but sometimes, fellas, y'all can go ahead and y'all can push y'all girl away because y'all trying to be hard on her, trying to be hard on her. And like, yeah, we got to do this. And it's like, yeah. No, you got to let her blossom into mm-hmm. her own. You know what I'm saying? And you work around it. You continue mm-hmm. doing you. And if you, she's going to see you doing you. And it's
going to be going to jump on. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Contribute.
She's going to contribute.
And that's the thing. You can't, you know, I'm going to say, fellas, you can't, even if I'm going to say my ladies out here, you can't be trying to beat your partner into it. Right. You got to do this. Look at him. Look at this couple. They do this. It's like, nah, like we facts. Normal. We, you know what I'm saying? We get into it at times. We disagree mm-hmm. at times and mm-hmm. things like that, right? But the common thing about it, the reason we're able to get over because it takes work. We got couples therapy, right? We work. We have things where we had to sit down and talk, and it's been work, right? We ain't always been this peaches and cream, and it's still work, but it's worth it all because at the end of the day, I look at her, you know, I look at what's good about her, and then if anything I don't like, and the good always outweigh that. So right. when it gets to the point of you're kind of stuff doing this and the bad outweigh, then that's when you got to ask yourself, you know what I'm saying? Is this really worth it? But if the good, yeah, if it's mostly good, then yeah, you can't complain. You better, you know, you definitely, that's what the compromise is for, and learn right. and then continue to talk about those things and be open. What don't you like about your mate? Be open with it. You know, be willing to share that, but be willing to say, okay, I don't like this, but I love this about you. Facts. And you know what I'm saying? And not just a, man, I don't like that you do this. No. And one key thing I'm gonna say, the last thing is, you know, saying things like, you do this, you always do this. You nitpicking somebody when you say that. You got to watch your tone, right? It's a different way to approach. If you want to get somebody's attention by coming to them and saying, you always do this. So that's not going to really capture them, right? They're going to just going to be like, and F you. You know what I'm saying? But if you, you know, hey, listen, I want to bring this to your attention. I've noticed that you do this. Like, it's all the power of the words when it comes to those things, man. And it's real powerful. You always want to encourage your mate.
Man, you just talked about some powerful stuff because I know that's a common conversation I have with guys a lot. They'll talk about how, like, man, I've been listening to this podcast. I'm doing this. I'm saying to my girl, she ain't even in it. She ain't buying into it. But it's like you said, a lot of times it comes down to, like, are you in it as well? Like, is it – because sometimes you got to get them something to actually follow. You know what I'm saying? They can see a blueprint, see you actively trying, working, grinding. Then they're going to be like, oh, okay, I see you. I want to contribute to this. If you got a good one on your team, like you said, they going to want to be like, damn, he doing all this, he doing that. All right, let me contribute. Same with, like you said, with girls. Like, right. girls, I had a conversation with girls all the time, too. Like, man, my dude, he ain't trying to do it. I'm like, bro, you got to, you know what I'm saying? You got to give them something they can light up. With most people, they got to see it first. They got to see something where they were like, this can be beneficial to us before they all the way buy into it. You can't expect everybody to just buy into it completely, you know what I'm saying? It might be a few people, but most people, that's not gonna be the case. So that's man, bro. You talking some hey, you talking some powerful stuff. And getting back to what you was gonna say?
No. When you said that, I was just, you know, honestly, man, just want to share it. It's all from experience.
Yeah,
you know, like you said, even with, you know, with the ladies, and it's about patience. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and that's the, you know, I think that Instagram and a lot of these, you know, social media, TV has kind of brought that microwave effect, which where like, oh man, let's look at this couple. They couple goals. And yeah, I'm gonna say this, the couple goals should maybe be the picture. Y'all didn't take that pose, but you don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
You never know.
Yeah. So it's like, what is your couple's goals? Y'all need to talk about that. What are y'all goals? And that's what real couple goals are. Yeah. With the picture, oh, look at them, they flashy. Like, yeah, like, that's cool. We work for this.
you don't know what they went through to get to that point. Facts. And you might not be willing to do that yourself.
Facts.
That's for real. So, but, like, going back to your story, I don't like that. You talked about how you was, like, listening to podcasts, reading a lot of self-help books. Because I know I see a lot of times these days, I see people kind of, like, shit on self-help books and stuff like that. Like, but at the same time, how I look at it is, like, with a lot of us, because I know that's what helped me for real. It was first, because, you know, in my immediate environment, I wasn't aware of any of this. So my first exposure to it had to be from, like, reading a book. It's like seeing it mentally, like, whoa. Like you said, it's people living like this?
Facts.
It's people making, like, hold on, I didn't even know. Like, you know what I'm saying? I, like, for the longest coming up, I thought, bro, either you was going to have to hoop, be a rapper, sell dope. You know what I'm saying? Go to the military, or it was it for you. You know what I'm saying? That was, so when I got exposed to people making money in real estate, people making money doing this, that, I'm like, hold on. So them self books, I just want to say them self help books. A lot of them, it's a lot of real game. And like, I think it lays down like the foundation for a lot of people for real. Because a lot of people have no clue about this world of things that's going on where people live in real, real abundance.
Facts, man. Nah, you know, you speaking on that, you know, I think that sometimes the closest they may come is like if Ray Lewis was talking mindset, you know what I'm saying? Michael Jordan quotes, right? Athletes kind of seeing how they just put their body on the line, right? You know what I'm saying? And really, and that's what some people attribute it to. But it's really, you know, like you said, those self-help books realize that I don't have to physically put my body on the line. I can mentally put this and then be able to. And then what technology is involved is literally, bro, like from a click of like this or this, you know what I'm saying? I can change my whole dynamics from a telephone or a click of a mouse. And really, it's the willpower inside that. But I think that, like you said, self-help books can sometimes get that bad rep. Mm-hmm. But I think it gets bad rep from people who think, again, that microwave effect. Like, this not working. This ain't working for me. And what self-help books allows you to do is it puts you – so I was encouraged, anytime, any venture you want to go into, whether that's stocks, real estate, you know, whatever, investing, cryptocurrency, NFT, whatever that looks like, whatever you want to go into, it's always great to get your mind right within these self-help books, because it allows you to be less fearful in investing in things. It allows you to have a good balance, right? And knowing that you can separate, because I'm gonna be real, like when I first, before I got, I started investing, I started doing some options, and man, I remember turning $100 to $3,000, and I was pretty much gambling. I didn't know what I was doing, right? This is 2015, and I'm just like, yo, I made $3,000, you know? And so now I'm greedy, right? I'm going to other markets. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to hit licks. And I ended up losing all that bread, right? Yep. I lost everything. And I was investing with emotion. You know, I didn't know how to really calm myself to understand and differentiate that this investing, I thought that was a part of me. So when I lost that money, my heart dropped. I was kind of sad and not realizing that, you know, what I was doing. And I think that that's how a lot of people get bad taste in their mouth, because they mind not prepared to even jump in these games. And everything is a game. So, you know, if you, that self-help is really just armoring up. It's lifting that muscle. Like, this your biggest muscle is your brain. And we go to the gym and we work out. We try to get big muscles, right? But honestly, what can your bicep do versus your brain?
Man, your brain, that's what's really going. I tell people this all the time. 99% of people not blessed with crazy athletic ability. So that brain power is really, like, if you can exercise that properly, that's what's going to get you to the life you really want to live. Thinking ahead of people, thinking strategically, knowing how to do different stuff, and that's what's going to get you there. And, like, this generation, like, I just talked about it recently, how, like, this younger generation, they got access to information that when I was 15, 16, 17, this what's going on right now, when we talk about wealth-building community, this is fair. People, I don't know if people understand this. This is really new. Like, this is within the last 5 year thing for real. Like, 10, 12 years ago, it was no platforms like this right now telling you, hey, you can invest in this, you can make money with people that's younger, with people that's black that you can actually relate to. So that's why, like recently I posted on my page about this kid from Ohio. Shout out to his name, Darius Whitfield. He started listening to the podcast. And he got into wholesaling. And he did a deal in 20. He did a deal in 17 days. He made $23,000 at 19. At 19 years, bro. I'm like, at 19. Number one, this access to this information wasn't abundant like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't popular for somebody to be on Instagram, YouTube, and be like, hey, I made this. You know what I'm saying? So that's this new generation. They got, man. That's why I'm a firm believer that. And I hate to say it, it really ain't no excuses for people.
No, one, your circumstance is nothing, is no excuses, no more. Like, that's the thing. It made this world now that we live in it, everything is even, right? You think even like with cryptocurrencies, it's made it even, you know, for the fact that I can have this universal dollar, you know what I'm saying? Universal coin that I can go anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world.
To use, right? The value is the value, what it is. And so, yeah, bro, like, man, shout out, like you said, to that young king, man. I love it, man. That's huge.
That's huge, man. And so I want to ask you this, because people ask me this all the time, being somebody that in business with my girl, like, what is it like? And from your perspective, your opinion, your experiences from doing business with your woman.
Yeah, man. So, you know, first and foremost, it's always fun because any conversation can lead to a business conversation. A lot of times, you know, we could be at dinner. Sometimes we have to tell ourselves, like, all right, no business for the next hour, right? We're going to focus on just life. But it's so dope because I'm talking about we come, you know, I take it for granted sometimes because it becomes so normal, but we have $1 million conversations, $1 billion conversations in bed. Right. And we, you know, one thing what helped us was once we defined our roles, that's what really helped us. Right. We defined our roles. What are we good at? Because at first, yeah, we wanted to kind of know what everybody was doing. Right. What's going on? We both CEOs. We both, you know, we co-founders. So it's like we realized that ain't really the process. Right. We need to realize long as it's going great for the business. And then what we did, no matter what idea it is, it goes. It's no dumb idea. So if it doesn't work, that's fine. We tried it for the business. We know it's not going to hurt. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what really helped us really grow our business, because we didn't really minimize and we didn't suppress each other to be like, oh, since I personally don't like that idea, we not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? So if it's like, hey, if it's an idea that, let's say, if she don't agree with, she might like, okay, cool, B, just you spearhead that. Right. If you need some support and vice versa, right? If I may not be like, cool, you leave that and then just, you know, plug me in when you need me to, right? And so that kind of gave us the freedom within our businesses to really be able to grow versus, you know, because a lot of times I want to tell the listeners, a lot of stuff we don't like because of personal preference. That don't mean it don't work for the people. We may be like, we may hear like, yeah, I don't know about that one. And that's personal preference. And then we try to speak for the other people, be like, well, I don't think the people going to like that. You can't speak for the people. You only know what you like. And that's why you continue to put stuff out there so the people, you get the feedback. And it's funny, like, especially us being in this content space, right? In a content space, at the end of the day, we want to give as much as we can. We want to take what we learn and regurgitate it. So a lot of times it may be a post that we post that we may not think it's like, oh, that's just, you know, that was just something. And that post may go crazy.
Crazy.
Right, you know, and we like, damn, people like this one versus the one we think that we hit, like, oh yeah, they gonna love this one. Then it'd be like, yo,
that's always the case, bro. I don't know why it's like that.
Yeah, and it's because it's our personal preference. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. But other than that, man, I love it. I won't trade it for the world. And the cool thing about it, when we got heated conversations, we able to sit back and be like, well, that's a business conversation. So let's take a step back. Let's go into, you know, let's go into to the relationship mode. Let's go ahead and try to make this, you know, let's go do something fun and then we can come back and revisit this.
Hey, man, for those of y'all that's listening, Byron giving out a lot of business game, relationship advice like this. I don't even think y'all expected this, but he giving out like a lot of powerful advice for real for people, bro, that's listening, man. Yeah. And Back on the business tip, I know I remember one of something I was saying you post. You talked about going from, I can't remember what you said verbatim, but it was something like from going from one point to having 100K months, and that's just like, bro, like this shit is so powerful, man. Because I know like where we come from, so I know like to see where we come from. Most people ain't making 100K
in a year, bro.
To go to make 100K in a month. Yeah. Like just talk about that for a second.
Man, you know what, bro? It's, you know, at sometimes, you know, I love it because it happens so fast. So you still talk about surreal months, but you know, when you putting in, I want to say this, when you are really changing people's lives and you put the people first, the monetary, it just comes. You'd be blessed, right?
That's a fact.
Because I'm going to be real. Like, a lot of times, most of our six-figure, we didn't even set the goal to say we want to hit a six-figure month. That wasn't even a goal. The goal was, all right, cool, let's do this class. Let's make sure we had these webinars. Let's try to get as many people as we can on this webinar. All right, cool. Well, we got 400 people on here. Bet. Let's blaze them. Let's give them all we can. Let's answer all these questions. Like, Because that's my thing. It's like, I can't never give. Because one thing people be like, man, but you giving too much. I love when somebody tell me I'm giving too much. Because guess what? I still got more to give, right? And they saying that because they probably like, oh, either A, I pay for that information. But the main reason I give that, because even if I tell you something right now, how many people you think 1 out of 10 people going to actually take that and do it? And if all 10 takes what I say and go do it, I did my job.
Facts. Right?
And if you need more, then yes, we got educational programs. You know what I'm saying? We got, we have these things for you. But the more we focus on the people, bro, the blessings come. So the $100,000 a month, right? Now we know we set a huge goal for this year, right? Monetary, but every time we do is, how many people can we help? So the goal is, I want to help 15,000 people this year. Mm. I know the number monetary, I know what that's going to bring, right? But at the same time, that's how many people's lives I want to change this year to say, you know what? 15,000 people say, man, I went to a mobile home park. I spent X amount of dollars on this course, right? Which is probably very low. Then I went and made, so for example, that course at $499. I spent $499 on this course. I went and bought a mobile home for $5,000, but I turned around and sold the mobile home for $20,000. So not only I paid off my course, but I just walked away with over, you know what I'm saying? I walked away with damn near almost $15,000. That's the impact that I want people to have versus, you know, hey, I seen them. I like the mobile home lead investors. I don't care about that. You know, I tell people, don't buy my stuff and let it, you know, change your life and let it change somebody else's life and continue passing that down. And I think that's why I've been blessed to have the type. Like last year was our first $1 million year, bro. Like right here, I'm gonna show you. Crazy. Like this was our plaque, bro. We made $1 million on Teachable.
So, crazy.
$1 million on Teachable, bro.
And congrats, bro. That's amazing.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. And I didn't see that, bro. I didn't feel, when I say I didn't see it, I didn't feel it. I was just doing my job. My job.
And I think I love this. See, it's another conversation that I love to have because I think what you just broke down with the people paying attention, this is what I like to call the science of money. Because so many people, they want money, they want money, they want money, not realizing that if you help people and you focus on helping people, the money, it's funny how the world works. Like the universe, it rewards you monetary by the lives you affect. So when you affecting a lot of lives in a positive way and you focus on helping people, you're gonna make, like Byron just broke down, you're gonna make a lot of money, especially if you're doing it genuinely. Like think about it like this. Jeff Bezos, he started Amazon, it was a book company. What you think he was thinking about, I'm gonna make a whole bunch of, he's probably think, I'm pretty sure in his mind he thinking, oh, this could help this person, I know this is the kind of person that want books, I'm gonna help them. And look what that led to. Like every company, I feel like at the foundation of the root is to, how can this benefit the people?
Facts.
That I want to supply this to. Whether you making burgers, I'm pretty sure, even though I don't eat McDonald's now, but I'm pretty sure that when they started, their mentality was, we're going to have the best burgers and we're going to make sure people get good food and stuff like that. Facts. You know what I'm saying? That might not be where they at right now, but you know what I'm saying? I would bet any kind of money, the founder, I'm pretty sure that was his mentality. So if people focus on that instead of just, man, how can I make a lot of money? You need to switch your question from how can I make a lot of money to how can I help the most people? You know, from doing like what I'm actually good at. Like Byron found the lane, they found the lane of mobile homes. They actually good. Now they can help people be good at it too. So I just want to say that, man. Like that's what you just, bro, you talking some powerful shit for real. Like this really, this some money, this some real money talks for real. Cause even everybody I know personally that's killing it, making money. They have all this shit comes down to service and others. Like you gotta service others before you serve. And the world is gonna reward you. Well, money, if that's what you want.
Facts. It's gonna get what you want. As you said it, what you want, you know, and it's I tell people, you know, it's, you gotta look and consider, you know, the biggest thing is focus, right? If you focus, what else is, it's focusing on those people. And so, you know, it's like life, you know, you can either what is your focus? And your focus is really your attention. So if you know, I consider it like a plant, right? If you have, if let's say my attention is water, I got a water plants and I got three plants. I got my dreams. That's my plant. I need to water, or some people, unfortunately, it's been a time where I was watering my negativity plant.
Right.
And my negativity was growing in my life. That was the wrong plant. Or my insecurity plant, right? People have insecurity. So now they watering that plant. Oh, I don't think I'm, you know, strong enough to do this. Or, you know, sometimes even come, you know, Instagram has created that for, right, you know, for our ladies and queens, you know, oh, my body, I need to get my body done. And this, you know, this one. So my insecurities, oh, I don't look good. So now you watering that plant and all your attention is focused on your insecurities or your negativity versus, and you forgetting about your dreams. So how can you really shift your focus and your attention and continue to water your dreams to make it grow to where it really is? And that's what, you know, again, my dreams, it used to be monetary things, but my dreams is
right. Impact. Right. See? And that's the, man, and that's what changes everything. That's, man, that's the same situation here, bro. Like, it was monetary at first. Now it's not even, because monetary just come with it. It's just a side effect of it. You know what I'm saying? When you actually impact the people, it's a side. Like, bro, when we started this podcast, I tell people all the time, money wasn't a thought. It wasn't. It was just, I was experiencing a lot of stuff with business and stuff like that. And I just wanted to talk about those experiences with people. Mm-hmm. And as it went on, money just came with it. It was something I didn't think of, bro. I promise you. I swear to God, I didn't think about money at all, bro. I didn't even know you can make money from fucking podcasting, bro. I'm a straight up. I didn't know you can make money from this shit. I was just something like, man, I'm going to get value. I want to give a lot of value. And next thing, bro. So that's a man, bro. You talking, you talking some shit, bro. For real.
I love it, bro. I love it. And that's why I know when we first did y'all podcast, I can, you know. Bro, y'all wasn't like, you got affiliate code and this and this and this. Like, y'all just like, yo, like, man, like, thank y'all for coming on. And that's, you know, the genuineness. That's great. And from there, you know, I think, like I said, me and you, bro, connected, you know what I'm saying? I knew we had the Chicago connection, but when we first sat down, you know, everybody listening, like, yeah, man, like, we talk at least once a month, you know, if anything. I'm sending him a voice message. And it's real, you know, and it's genuine. And when you meet other people, you know, anybody listening on their journey, when you start meeting other people that are about impact, they about helping, like, see how you can service those people because they already on that journey and see where you can help. And that stuff is going to rub off on you. You're going to eventually be like, oh, man, I like how they do that. I see. Okay. And that's one thing that helped me when I was going through my journey. Right. You talking about, bro, I didn't make a dollar. Right. I didn't make a dollar for almost 6 months. Like, I didn't start just driving Lyft. I was trying to make an impact. Before that, bro, I was in two nonprofits. I ran 2 5Ks on Garfield Park, the west side of Chicago and Garfield Park for the community. I teamed up with Rush Hospital. Like, and to me, I was so blessed just to be in that space. Like, dang, I'm doing this. I'm helping people come out and run. And that blessing, I was mentoring, bro, going to schools every Wednesday, every Friday. I was mentoring. And I was blessed to be inside the school. I was blessed that they allowed me to come in there and talk to these teenagers, talk to these kids. Like that, I was just so happy, bro. I ain't want to dime. The one on Friday, they paid me like $25 an hour. I was blessed. Like, thank y'all. I wasn't even doing
for real,
it.
You know what I'm saying?
It helped. Don't get me wrong. It definitely helped at that time. But it was just a blessing to be like, yo, like, thank you. Like, this is a plus. And so doing it, I didn't know what I was doing, right? But when I look back at it, all I was doing was setting myself up to continue giving, awesome, and not expect dollars afterwards.
Man, that's, man, bro. This could be a goddamn a lesson in a goddamn in college class, for real. a business lesson in college class. That's what it really boils down to, is you trying to have impact and impact others. But I want to ask you this, though. So, because you talked about being focused. And I know a lot of people struggle with it. And they will say, like, man, how the hell, like, how can I stay focused? Like, what's the keys to me staying focused? What's your advice on that?
Yeah, so one hack I got for you guys is, so everything, every distraction that you currently have right now, write it down on a piece of paper. Write it down. List every distraction that you have. And then in the next column, right next to it, put something you want to replace on it. So, for example, let's say you like, okay, I watch, you know, too many hours of Netflix. Okay, what do I want to replace it with? Okay, I want to replace it with listening to audiobooks or podcasts. All right, I might play too much of the game, you know. All right, I want to replace that with taking an action, you know, learning about some e-commerce. Like, keep and put the, and here's the thing, it's not gonna happen, but now you got, you know, you got a list. All right. And then it's what they say, it takes only 30 days, 30 to, you know, 45 days to replace a habit. So now you got a list of new habits. You, if you got a list of 10 things, possibly 10 months down the line in a year, you're going to be a whole brand new person if you stick to that.
Damn. That's facts. And that's something that people could actually, that's a tangible, they could actually go do, get a piece of paper and write that. Everybody can do that. So, because that's real. Like you said, focus. Focus is, that's everything. That's what's going to get you from A to Z. And this, like, I only got two more questions for you. So, I like, and this is something I like talking about, because you talked about how you mapped out a goal and you got from A to Z, you completed the goal. And I like asking people this, is a lot of times people, because I had conversations with people about this, they know how to write a goal, how to put their goals on paper, but they don't know actually how to complete them from A and get it done, see it all the way through. So what's your advice on that? Like, just with accomplishing, when it comes to accomplishing goals, like truly accomplishing them.
Facts. No, good thing, bro. Appreciate that. So one thing I want to tell you, have your goals every day where you can see them, right? Have your goals everywhere you can see them, right? So for example, this is my screensaver. This is my 2021 goals. I cannot go, when I look at my phone, I got to see my goals. And this is easy. I got an Apple, I got an iPhone. I went in my notes. I took it, I screenshotted it, and then I saved it as my background. These are my goals. I have made sure I say my goals out loud every day. Now, executing it. It depends on what type of project person. I'm a project person. So I turn my goals into projects. So one thing is, whatever your goal is, you know, you want to see, okay, so you, the biggest thing is your goal is, once you put your goal down, right, what are your key measurables on that goals, right? What are your key things that will take to get these goals? Write those things down. Then you need to know, when is my by when date? By when am I going to complete that goal? Because now that I know I have a date in mind, because some people be like, yo, my goal, you know, my goal is to make $10,000. Okay, by when?
By when?
Because, you know, you say, okay, you saying my 2021 goal, so you mean tell me from January 1st to December 31st, you want to make $10,000? That's it? Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to challenge you and say, that's it. So by when do you want to make, so now think about it. Let's say you say, okay, by February 2nd, I want to make $10,000. Let's say you made $6,000. You still put momentum on, you put things to do to make, put you close to that. So you come in closer to it. Just because you don't attain it, you become close to it. So also you can spreadsheet, put in a spreadsheet, right? What are your key, you know, again, those deliverables? What do you need? Break that goal down exactly, step by step, what it's going to need. Who are the key people, right? Sometimes most of our goals we can't do by ourselves. So who are the key people? What key services that you need as well? And then you need to make sure that you take one, once you map out, all right, let's say again, my goal is to make $10,000. Okay, what are you making your goal in $10,000? I want to make my goal $10,000 in e-commerce. Okay, cool. What's my product? Okay, right. You know, what's my who's my audience? Like, once you start deciphering those, then each one of those, you need to have little micro goals within that to hit that. Because one big goal takes a whole bunch of steps, right? Again, I correlate stuff to basketball. At the end of the day, to win the game, we got to put up points, but we got to play defense as well. Each play matters. We only can make so many mistakes. So if you focus and you run the plays like my man Beyond Wynn say, run the fucking play. If you run the plays, you will get the stuff that you need.
There's another a real actionable advice that anybody could take and do that. Like, most people got iPhones. If you got an Android, you can edit and have your own screensaver. And that's real. I think what you just said with a lot of that boils down to is momentum. Like, one thing I learned, like, I'm learning more and more through business, the more I make more and more money, is money, success, all that, it love momentum. On the when you study doing what you're doing, working at it, going, it's just gonna keep elevating. Right. As long as you keep at it, the moment you slow down, the shit just gonna start slowing down too. So you know, bro,
real quick,
for real, like success, it really do love. I heard somebody say success. I heard somebody say money loves speed. And I'm like, man, and I equate that to, like I just said, success, it loves momentum too. As long as you going, you working, and you work, like, man, that's what you said, bro. That's beautiful for real, man. Like, goals, man. Man, like, this was a hey, Hey, bro, for real, this is a lot of value that people can hear. That's what I love about this podcast. People hearing it, and no knock to nobody else, but you hearing it from people that's like actually doing it. You know, a lot of times people have conversations with their friends, they're like, hey, you can do this, you can do this, or you, but their friend ain't did nothing yet.
Ain't did nothing. So they, you they didn't listen to, they listen to your podcast and heard somebody else say it.
Right. <It's, laughs> hey, so when you actually hear people that's just did it and doing it, you know what I'm saying? It hit a little different. So, and this is my last question I have for you. I like doing scenarios. So for the person that's at the crib or whatever they at the job, they at the gig, whatever, and their situation is looking bad right now, or from their perspective, they believe it's looking bad. Like, they ain't got no money. They might not have no whip, or their car might be getting repoed, or anything. Might they might be getting evicted, might not be able to pay rent, but they want to level up. They want to get out their situation, make their life better immediately. What would you say to that person to get them on their right path?
Yeah, man. So the first thing is you gotta really be able to sit with that guilt, right? And that guilt is what's going to really, that can make or break you. So the biggest thing, the first thing is you got to realize is you are not your circumstances. So meaning, like, if you sit in that guilt, it can break you, right? Guilt can, like, oh, everything just happened to me. And guess what? It goes back to that negativity plant. You watering that. That's what your attention on. Everything that bad happened to you. So I hate to say it, it's going to be more bad shit happening to you because that's what you focus on. Yep. So the first thing you need to do is shift your focus, right? You got to understand that now. Here's the best thing I want to tell you. If you're going through some shit right now in your life, and you're going, he's like, this is some of my hardest times and things like that, consider you a warrior. And every warrior had to go through test of battle to even be on a battlefield. If y'all remember that movie 300, as kids, they had to go kill a wolf, right? Mm-hmm. They had to go in the wilderness. That's what your life is. Everybody who's successful has a story on how we had to struggle, how we had to go things, but we did not give up, and then now we got our success. Everybody has that. Even people you think that was being handheld and just like, oh, they was a trust fund baby. Guess what?
They went through some shit.
They went through some shit, whether it was drug addiction, mm-hmm. whether their parents on drugs, neglect, they went through some shit. So best thing I want to tell you, if you're going through some things right now, you, first of all, you are not your circumstances. Consider what's going on as your warrior story, right? You are going through shit, and this is going to end it. At the end of the tunnel, it's going to be light. So this is when you focus now and really start building this muscle, right? This is when you start looking at things as a blessing. Maybe I got evicted. This could have been a blessing. This is a blessing for me. Man, my money, this is a blessing for me because I'm going to be having abundance, right? My credit is bad. This is a blessing for me because this is showing me. And when you start looking at blessing and you start calling for that higher power to say, okay, listen, I surrender. I guide you. Begin to come engulfed in prayer. And again, I'm not super religious, but I am spiritual. I believe, I know that it is something higher than me that helps me, guide me throughout this world. And once you tap in with that and you be patient, everything that you're going through, you're going to be like, I'm alive.
I'm alive.
That's the biggest joy, is breath. So when you look right back, everything that's going through your life, and you sit back and be like, I'm alive, man, you ain't got shit to complain for.
God damn, bro. Like I said, man, this could be broken down in a this is a classic right here. I'm telling you right now. I already know the people gonna mess with this heavy, man. It's nothing I could say better than that, bro. I'm gonna just leave it at that, man. before we wrap it up, was there anything else you want to go over there? You get a chance to go over?
Man, you know what, man? You know, first and foremost, man, I want to acknowledge you, bro. Like, you know, what this platform that you have, bro, I've seen you and the queen just grow this. You know, I think that, you know, it's not even the growth as far as the notoriety, but it's the impact that I'm seeing that y'all have on the culture. And again, it's a blessing, bro, to even know you, to see your journey. And it's going to be super dope to talk about this 5 years down the line, you know what I'm saying, of the impact that you had. And you know, I just want to acknowledge you for that. Even
thank you, bro.
Space, bro.
Thank you, bro.
Man, anytime, bro. But you know, I honestly, you know, I just want to leave off everybody that's, you know, that's listening. Here's the biggest thing. Once you got to really focus on believing and trusting yourself, believing that you're capable of achieving results, and then trusting the fact that you are capable of it. And that's the biggest thing that holds but most of it. We don't trust ourselves. We don't see, you know, we see other people doing it and we think they're like, oh, that's just them. They have it and you have it. But the thing is, you just don't trust that you have it and you don't believe that you have it. really, really, once you start to believe, and it's as uncomfortable as it may feel, you continue to believe, it's no lie when they say you believe it, you can achieve it. It's, yep. It's no lie. It may seem like it's magic, but it is magic. It really is. We all believe in ourselves. We all believe. This belief in ourselves was not given to us, right? It's not something that's, it's just something that takes practice. It's practice. You, everybody still has that doubt. But the best thing of beating doubt is doing it.
Doing, starting anyway.
Exactly. And that's how you defeat doubt.
Starting this, man. And I'll end it on this, starting anyway. Because a lot of, like, speaking on the podcast, because I know a lot of people, they hear this. I meet a lot of people. They be like, man, it's so dope what you're doing. Like, man, it's, and they think, I think a lot of people just think, once again, when they see the end result, they just think you've been here not knowing. Yeah, when we started this podcast, we was getting like 50 listeners the first probably couple weeks, couple months. 50 listeners, 100 listeners, that ain't really nothing. And now,
in the podcast world.
Yeah, that ain't nothing. 50 listeners, that ain't nothing. And that, no knock to anybody that's getting that. I'm just saying like what it is. But that's where we started, you know what I'm saying? To now, and we started anyway. Like, we ain't had no, we just like, all right, forget it. Now we getting 15, 20,000. Every single time something dropped. That's a whole stadium. That's a stadium. And I ain't trying to pop my shit. No, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
just
pop from, that, bro.
I just know where it started from to where it's at. That's a whole stadium of people listening to every episode that come out. You know what I'm saying? So that's, you got to start where you at, man. You can't just try to wait to everything perfect because it ain't gonna never be perfect. Experience is what makes perfect. Experience will make perfect. And you ain't got, if you ain't got no experience, what the hell? How you gonna be perfect? So you gotta start. You gotta start. You gotta, you know what I'm saying? So I just want to
that's a job, bro.
I'ma wrap it up at that, man. But I'm wrapping up, I'm just gonna say, bro, you already know how much I appreciate you, man. How much I rock with you and the Queen Sharnice, man. Y'all need anything at any time, y'all know y'all can hit us up, whatever, man. So I really appreciate you coming on. And before I let you go, do you mind plugging in all y'all stuff where people can find y'all, follow y'all, buy anything, support anything, everything.
For sure, man. Dan, thank you so much, bro, for having me on here. Everybody, if you want to make sure, first of all, follow the business page on Instagram, Facebook, at Mobile Home Elite Investors. If you type in Mobile Home Elite on Twitter, will also come up as well. We're starting to get heavy on Twitter now to start to post. I'm going to follow my personal journey. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Byron S Sellers. So S for my middle initial. So Byron S Sellers. Man, go to the website, mobilehomeeliteinvestors.com. If you're interested in any of our programs, we got, you know, pretty much got all the blueprints for A to Z to how to get started within mobile home investing. You know, we got community, whatever you need, ebooks, community courses. We got a whole institute for you all. And man, again, bro, thank you so much, man, for real. From the bottom of my heart, you already know, man. I'm a phone call away.
We already know, man. And for those that are listening, that's all we got for y'all. I appreciate y'all tuning to another episode. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Xavier C. Miller. And you can follow Deanna. She's at Deanna Kent on all platforms. And that's all we got for y'all. I appreciate y'all. That's another episode. Peace.
Turn me up some. Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant. I study millionaires cause I was born a visionary. You still believe in limitations, why you acting scary? You can't distract me from the paper, I've been chasing greatness. I'm stacking now and balling later. In the conversation, we strategizing, monetizing, piling up investments, and sacrificing temporary shit for bigger blessings. Yeah, a tapped in boss mind state. I multiply my grind rate and I match the way I value. vibrate. Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.